At the annual National Food Policy Conference in Washington, a panel of experts discussing the roots of Africa's chronic food insecurity urged major new investments in agricultural development.
3/4 of the world's ultra-poor, these are people living on less than 50 cents a day, live in Africa.
Daniel Karanja, a senior fellow at the Partnership to Cut Hunger and Poverty in Africa, says that about a third of Africa's 7 million people are undernourished. He attributes Africa's food insecurity to a combination of increasing population growth and declining agricultural production.
This has been going on for a while, the last 30 years, resulting in a structural food deficit as food demand outstrips domestic food supply. Most African countries back in the 70s were net exporters. Now most of them are net importers of food.
Karanja blames environmental degradation for much of the decline in agricultural productivity.
As population pressure on land rises, there's significant overcropping, overgrazing, and expansion of farming into fragile lands. Most smallholder farmers have been cultivating their farms for 5 to 6 decades without fallow, mining every bit of nutrients and adding very little back.
And Karanja predicts that climate change will exacerbate the problem.
98% of Africa's crop and livestock production is rain-fed. There's great reliance on rainfall, and that has become increasingly unpredictable, erratic, and unreliable.
The key to improving food security in Africa, says Karanja, is to invest in agriculture.
Most African economies are agro-based. 3 out of every 4 Africans live in rural areas and depend entirely on agriculture for their livelihood. The most viable means of improving the livelihood of poor people and achieving rapid poverty and hunger reduction in Africa is through investments that accelerate agricultural growth.
We think that increasing agricultural yields at the heart of agricultural sustainability.
Michael Parr is a senior manager at the chemical company DuPont, a founding member of an industry coalition called the Alliance for Abundant Food and Energy.
If you could export U.S. levels of yield to other parts of the world, you could double production in East Africa, you could triple production in South Asia, and you could have almost a 5-fold increase in sub-Saharan Africa.
U.S. farmers have achieved their remarkable yields largely through the use of improved seeds, fertilizers, and pesticides. According to Siwa Masangi, a research fellow at the International Food Policy Research Institute, achieving such big yield gains in Africa will require some fundamental changes in the way farmers grow food.
And that's where the technology comes in.
Masangi says that well-managed irrigation projects and giving smallholder farmers access to improved seeds would help maintain yields as climate change makes rainfall less reliable.
That's where you need the improved drought tolerance, heat tolerance, salt tolerant technologies, both from non-transgenic breeding and transgenic breeding. And I think an evidence-based approach to judging these technologies, equipping the countries themselves to evaluate the suitability of those technologies for their own systems and to adopt them.
But for any of these new technologies to be successful, says rural sociologist Mary Hendrickson, they will need to be carefully integrated into existing farming systems.
We really got to talk about appropriate and complementary integration of technology, of local and traditional knowledge systems and indigenous knowledge with what we learn through formal agricultural knowledge, science, and technology.
Daniel Karanja agrees.
When it comes to issues like biotechnology, I agree with what Mary said earlier. We have to make sure that, one, it's appropriate, two, decisions are made locally, and number three is that there's capacity to manage those kinds of technologies, whether we are talking about regulatory framework or we are talking about risk assessments and things like that.
For agricultural development to actually benefit the poor, says Mary Hendrickson, it must create opportunities for innovation and entrepreneurship that specifically helps small farmers. But Hendrickson adds that farmers will need to balance their increased production against potential environmental impacts. For Our World, I'm Veronique LaCapra.